Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're listening to Segi Station. This man has a nickname, always allowed to say with no shame. Wednesday, February 17, 2021. Hope all is well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Seglin here. You're listening to Segi Station Podcast. Got some company coming through today as well. Hopefully a rich, squared conversation today as I got my dude Raj out in the West Coast, a little East to West Coast exchange today. We got some golf, PGA news, and some other sports topics to get into today. Hopefully I'll hear from my man Rich Hot Takes Letty, who will come through and we'll be able to discuss all things NBA. Keep my fingers crossed on that. Know he's busy with his job. I'm not doing as much. Did make it up to hit some golf balls yesterday inside the simulator up at my setup that we got at work, which is really phenomenal. Indoor golf has really taken off, and I think golf, obviously, last year with the pandemic did take off as well. So it'll be interesting and fun to get back into a sports conversation and golf conversation with my man Raj. We just had a tour tournament out Pebble Beach. Daniel Berger taking home that tournament, but that is currently and where Raj has resided for, almost 3-4 years now, I think. So looking forward to catching up with a couple of the guys. Plenty to get to in the world of sports, like I mentioned. Right now, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Segi Straight Talk Microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. Raj should be here in hopefully about 5 minutes or so. Appreciate all the love and support shown for the podcast from everybody. Really means a lot. Been saying it a bunch, but I will continue to say it. Really means everything to me, all the support, views, likes, follows, continue to try and grow the conversation, and any of that love and support really means a lot to me. As always, you can follow along on my Instagram page and Twitter page at Segi Station. Also got a live version of the podcast up on my Twitch stream. It's _Segi_G. Appreciate if you check that out, gave that a follow. And got the podcast out on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public. Hopefully get your podcast there. Any of the support, as always, is appreciated. Did need to start off with a couple of quick shout-outs. As saw a few things yesterday. Anniversary of Happy Gilmore. I believe it was 26 years. I think it's 25-year anniversary of Happy Gilmore, which, by the way, is instant classic. Not really a big movie guy, but I've seen that plenty of times and it never gets old regardless of how many times I've seen it. Seen some of the videos, tributes to not only Adam Sandler but the Shooter McGavin tribute. It was pretty incredible to see, and needed a shout out Happy Gilmore. I'm sure I'll get the boys' take on that real quick today. Also need to get their take on the question of the day, which is, would you rather be born on today, February 17th, in which the great Michael Jordan is celebrating his 58th birthday today? Don't really normally do birthdays unless my guy Chew is here, but couldn't really leave this one out. Also, Jim Brown celebrating his 85th birthday. Or would you rather be born on December 30th, the iconic LBJ Tiger Woods duo birthday? Incredible days to be born on if you're a sports fan. Interesting to get the guys' take on what they would rather have as a birthday today. Just a little couple nuggets on LeBron James, Michael Jordan. Obviously, Michael Jordan celebrating his 58th birthday, like I said, and we all saw in The Last Dance that he's probably the greatest basketball player of all time. But when you go and look, most playoff runs averaging 35-5. Michael Jordan had 7 of those. LeBron James had 6. Kobe Bryant had 3. Clearly, the NBA and the game would not be the same without these three. Three iconic legends of the game. Over 100,000 points scored. 15 rings. 12 finals MVPs. 10 MVPs. One picture of the three of them that I got up on my Instagram page at Segi Station is absolutely iconic, and Michael Jordan is clearly an iconic basketball player, if not going to be considered the greatest to ever play the game of basketball. So happy birthday to my man Michael Jordan, MJ the GOAT, and Jim Brown. Touched on Happy Gilmore for a second, so before Raj gets here, I need to touch on this. what's going on with the weather out in the Texas area is absolutely devastating. And you see all the jokes, obviously, because everything's all fun and games on social media nowadays, where you see the T-Mobile and the funny videos of cars not doing anything or doing donuts or people in traffic jams and sledding down the hill in a snowboard, whatever, all the funny canoe. I mean, you see all the funny stuff, right? But let's just be real here. You got 7 million people without power. You got the infrastructure that you don't even see in some parts of the South. Never mind Texas, which, by the way, some parts of Texas are south of Mexico, where you're like, oh man, this is a tropical place.
Yeah, not so tropical right now when it's 15 below zero. We're getting 8 inches of snow in every single county.
Literally, every single county in Texas is under basically a state of emergency winter weather storm. Like I mentioned, all the people without power, and it's basically once in a generation type of event going on right now. And yeah, all the jokes are funny until that happens to you. And it works both ways, because you hear a lot of people from Texas and them always trying to say, oh, we don't need the government and we're not going to conserve our energy. This is Texas, blah, blah, blah. But now they're all looking for help from the government. Obviously, I mean, this is just straight up a natural disaster. And I got family that's down there in El Paso, Texas, and in Arizona as well. I reached out and I don't know how it's going, because I mean, I don't talk to them much and I hope everything's okay. But clearly not a good situation when, obviously, like I said, I mean, I went to school in South Carolina. We got an inch of snow, not even, and we were shut down for 10 days. Didn't have school. Nothing's open. Nobody on the roads besides Northern Plates. And the Northeasterners coming out and acting like assholes and fools. It's like, no shit, man. Like, they're not meant to get snow at that type of rate. The infrastructure in order to get that type of snow or freezing temperatures or trying to remove the snow is just not possible. So it's just not the same. And it's, like I said, fun and games until it happens to that place. And like, just like up here in the Northeast, we can't take extreme long periods of time with droughts of no rain, particularly because our infrastructure isn't good with that. So when that happens, things tend to not go well. Works both ways. All the prayers and love to the people in that area. And it's going to be another couple days of really cold and terrible weather throughout the South, which is just weird to even say. I mean, you got sports games and stuff getting postponed due to inclement weather, which, yep, you could understand that in the Northeast, you know, Michigan area, whatever it is. But Dallas, Texas, that's insane. Raj is here. Let's go. What's good, Raj?
How we doing?
I'm doing well, brother. How you doing?
Good.
I'm happy to see you, bro. Let's get into some of the golf that went down. Obviously, there was a golf tournament out your way. I'm glad we're able to link up. I was just talking about a little bit. Looks like the sun's out and looking pretty nice out there, which is not what's currently going on in Texas, and I just covered that. It's pretty crazy to see all the snow there. But I did some indoor simulator golf here, so I'm keeping up on my golf game a little bit, just in case chumps like you or my brother want to even play me on the simulator, or when I eventually get back outside and the snow's gone. But they did have the tournament out there near you. Daniel Berger won it. Just a couple quick things on that. It's his second in 8 months since the restart, by the way. He's been incredible. He's got 2 wins, 5 top 3s, 7 top 10s, 12 top 25s. He's made 15 of 17 cuts. I mean, the dude's been on a tear. I believe he won the Travelers. I'm not sure if it was his first tournament he ever won, but it was maybe his second. But he only has 4 career PGA Tour wins. So I'm a big Daniel Berger guy. I like that what he's doing. Really tough scene for Jordan Spieth, and we'll get into that in a second. But overall, obviously, you weren't able to go to the tournament. They weren't allowing fans, I guess. But what was good with your overall feel of the tournament this time out there at Pebble? The iconic Pebble, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's a bummer, like, that they had to cancel the amateur part of the event. Because that's, like, what's so fun about it, you know? And so normally they play 3 different courses. They only played Spyglass and Pebble this year. It was a bummer not being able to go. Like, I've been going for the past 3 years, and
yeah,
you know, it's always a fun time. But it is fun too to watch on TV the course that I know and like be like, oh yeah, that putt's going good. That putt's breaking like a foot right to left. Like, I know that one.
That's the best part. That's the best part. That was the best part of me working at River Highlands where they had the tour tournament and now watching it on TV. I still know the course real well, and that's the best part. I did want to ask you, though, about the – like, I was looking at some of the pictures of it. I don't know if you saw my post today, but, like, they, like 1932, some of the snapshots of it, like, and then obviously now, like, clearly the picture's in color, but looks pretty much the same to me. Like, obviously it's an iconic course, and but the weather was a little bit crazy. How was it for the tour pros just in terms of the weather? And then, like, obviously, like I said, they weren't fans, so, like, the feel is obviously a little bit, I think, different for all athletes right now dealing with limited fans. So just wanted to touch on that real 100%. Quick.
Yeah, no, I mean, as far as, like, course changes, like, the biggest one you can see in those pictures is what they did to number 7. Like, it's totally different.
Yeah.
But other than that, the course is mostly the same. Like, it used to be 2 trees on 18. Now it's only 1.
Yeah.
You know, they've added a bunch of bunkers over the years. But, it's still mostly the same course. And it's a course that a lot of people recognize.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's on TV every year, you know.
That and bro, indoor simulator.
Sometimes twice a year.
Yeah, that and indoor simulators up here. It's on every single one. Pebble Beach. Everyone's trying to play that too. Everyone's trying to play the Pebble Beach indoor simulator. Bro, that's a real thing up here in the Northeast, bro. Everyone's shitting on us not being able to golf during the wintertime. But it's been more of a thing with the indoor golf popping off.
But back on the tournament, Berger, or is it Berger? It's Berger.
Yeah, Daniel Berger,
and, he teammates with Koepka in college? Is that the story?
He may have been. I don't go that far back with Berger.
He's been playing really well.
So yeah, this is what I did want to.
He's definitely a safe pick on DraftKings if you're playing DraftKings for golf. I think Berger's a pretty good pick every week.
Yeah. And, for sure. Let me get into this real quick with you because I think this is funny on Berger because he's got 26 straight rounds under par played. And they, you know how tour golf is, bro. They play 4 straight days. And I saw a quote that he had where it's like, bro, you're winning a golf tournament. It's like a heart attack every shot you're taking. Bro, that dude has 26 rounds under par. I saw you send me a funny post and I had it up as well in my post where it's like, oh, I break 80 and I'm sucking my own weenie like the elephant. Yeah. That was hilarious. I think that's funny for me. Like, I'll obviously shoot under 80. If I shoot above 80, I'm honestly pissed off. Like, let's just be real here.
Right.
But for seeing, like, my friends like that, like you, that are, like, getting better at golf, if they can shoot under 80, that's great. I love to see that. But I do think stuff like that's funny. Also, I don't think it's appreciated when you see a guy shooting 26 straight rounds under par. That's absolutely insane. But I did want to get your take on that and then ask you if you've been breaking 80 a little bit. That's why you sent me that post, or if it was just funny. Like, I want to know. You've been breaking 80 or what?
No, I haven't broken 80.
God damn it.
I'm working on it.
You should have took up my lesson up here. I could have got you breaking 80 for real.
I know. Yeah, we fucked that up.
We got to link up. We got to link up soon.
I sent you some pictures the other day. I was playing Pacific Grove. They call it Poor Man's Pebble out here. It's like the Muni course.
Yeah.
And it's dope. It's a short course, but I had a nice little round. I chipped in twice for birdie on 7 and on 18.
Word.
So that was cool.
There you go.
Golf's so fun. It always keeps you coming back with some shit like that.
Yeah, and, I did need to. I did.
Yeah, no. I just want to say, like, really impressive, like, Sunday out of Berger. Everyone was rooting for Spieth, but on Sunday, 6 under with 2 eagles. That's a winning score, you know.
Yeah, I need to ask you something about Spieth though, because I'm not really a big Spieth guy, and this is 2 weeks in a row. Let me just set the stage here for a second on Spieth. This man was about to be, like, what, the next Tiger Woods, right? Bro, he hasn't won a golf tournament in over, like, 1,200 days. He hasn't cracked the top 10, and it was about 500 and 700 for a top 5. He's in contention to win a tournament, leading it, heading into the final round, back-to-back weeks, didn't get the job done. Where are you at with Jordan Spieth and him potentially winning a tournament anytime soon? Because I don't know where I'm at on it. I mean, I'm rooting for the guy, but, like, I don't know. He hasn't done it in so long. His game was out of whack for so long. it seems to be a little bit back on track now, but it's so tough to win on tour, man. So many good guys on tour.
Yeah, it's hard. I was not a Jordan Spieth like fan when he was younger, you know.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, I didn't like the whole like, oh, he's the next Tiger shit, you know, that under your skin
for sure. He's not.
But like, now I root for the guy.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him win.
Yeah, same.
I don't really care who wins. You know, I kind of just, that's the thing about golf is like, you kind of just like root for whoever is playing the best.
Yeah, I do think that is the cool thing about golf, because it happens every week, obviously, and there's a lot of big name guys, like I said, and there's obviously a lot of great golfers that nobody really knows about, that like maybe you and me know about, that are always up there kind of in contention as well. Like, you said something about Daniel Berger on DraftKings. If you're playing DraftKings golf, bro, especially the ones at Pebble Beach, you got to take Maverick McNealy, bro. He was second this week, second top five ever. Both of them were at Pebble Beach.
Shit.
Maverick McNealy, he's a lock to finish top five at Pebble Beach. And then just a quick shout out on the tournament. Nate Lashley, I don't know much about him, but he had the lead, and he made a four putt from 13 feet and blew his only chance of winning the tournament. These dudes are human too, seeing some of this stuff. You saw Francisco Molinari fucking botch one off the tee. Shot tracer had it, went about fucking 30 yards, didn't even get past a woman's tee. In my book, you got to pull your pants down, hit your next shot. I mean, this is just incredible stuff, but it's all good.
And that top off the first tee, I can't tell you how many people I've seen top that first tee shot at Pebble Beach. And it's like working as a caddy there. Like,
yeah,
that's like,
quick reload.
That's so classic.
Quick reload. Oh, man, that's hilarious. I did a real quick on the PGA Tour. I needed to get your take on this, and I had a couple other things in sports for you. The PGA announced that they're going to allow measuring distance devices going forward. After, I think the first one they're going to use is the PGA Championship, couple on the LPGA Tour as well. I think that's phenomenal for golf guys like me, because I'm trying to sell those. And a lot of the knocks on those, and I'm sure for caddies like you, you probably use them. They're important to the game of golf, and for them to not be able to use them on tour, to me, is kind of like, why? Why not? Like, we're trying to sell them as golf guys. Like, all golfers should probably have one of those, in my opinion, but some guys will be like, oh, man, I don't see the dudes on tour using them. Why do I need one of those? Listen, man, they use those in all their rounds, not on tour. It's just not allowed on tour. I'm glad to see this now allowed on tour. You got any take on that? Do you use obviously, and I say distancing measuring device because I like to be real technical with it because I'm a golf guy, but it's a range finder. For any of the avid beginner golfers that probably, it's a range finder, a little laser shooter,
yeah, laser.
so you can get the yardage, but just take on that.
So working as a caddy, yeah, I rely on my laser a lot. Now, the trouble, and I think the laser is a great tool. The things that I don't like are the watch applications, the GPS that's on your tells you your yardage.
Yeah, that. Agree.
That
agree.
Shit you can't trust.
Agree.
What you can trust is the laser.
Yep.
But it's a tool like anything else. It's not like, hey, point and shoot. Okay, it's 155. I'm hitting my 155 club. The tough part about working with amateurs like I do is when I give them the laser and I tell them, okay, it's 155 yards to that flag.
Yep.
Well, in reality, here at Pebble, we're at sea level. There's wind. It's a little uphill. We still need to hit like a club and a half more.
Yeah.
And so that's what people have a hard time.
Yeah. So I'm curious. I actually want to know that. I want to know this as a golfer too. Like, would you tell them if you get a 155, but you know it's uphill and like into the wind, like they need to hit more club, do you tell them like, oh, it's 155? Or do you tell them like, yo, I got 155. It's playing like 170 though. Like, obviously you tell them like something like that.
That's kind of the line, but you have to read your player and like figure out what
true,
they know.
True.
I mean, so some guys, you just lie to them. Like, if you know it's playing 15 yards more, you just tell them, hey, it's 170. Because they don't want to listen to anything else. Like, so you just got to be like, dude, just trust me. Like,
yeah.
You know, I know the gun says 155, but, like, it's 170.
True.
And that's what it comes, like, you know, trust your caddy or not, you know, trust the guy who knows what he's talking about or don't. It's up to you. But everyone has their own thoughts about their game. I think the laser's a great tool. When I play, I like to use it. I like to shoot the front of the green. I like to get the pin. I like to shoot, like, any bunkers that I need to cover.
Yeah.
It's great for that sort of information.
Nah, I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's great that they're allowing it. I did want to touch on the Lakers real quick. I don't know if you saw about Anthony Davis, bro, but, like, he was, like, in and out, and, like, now he's, like, got – he's going to miss some time. We were talking about it last week. I knew he was going to miss some time, but I didn't think it was going to be, like, this serious. It's going to be 2 to 3 weeks. He's not going to be back until at least after the All-Star break, which is going to be, like, March 5th through 10th, with a calf strain, and there was Achilles before that. A lot of talks of that being similar to KD and some of the things that – So, as a Lakers, obviously, fan, if you're a fan of the Lakers, you got to be worried as hell. And I think LeBron is going to be now MVP of the league because he's been incredible. And the only knock of him not being MVP was that he had Anthony Davis. Well, he's going to miss a lot of time. And if he's going to have to stay up in the standings and be in some of these games, I get it. He beat the T-Wolves last night, worst team in the league, which we're saying every year. But still matters. He's playing more minutes. He's putting up incredible stats. And I think the Lakers are going to be in trouble if Anthony Davis is obviously not healthy long term. But going forward, regular season, I don't think it's going to be a problem. LeBron's just going to carry him. I think he's on a mission right now, knowing he's in basically the lead of the MVP talks. But I do think down the long run, this could be a problem for the Lakers. You got any take? Let me know what anyone's out there saying about the situation in LA right now.
Yeah, so it's like... It's scary, right, for AD? I mean, it could be bad. That's like, it kind of looked bad.
Yeah.
That injury, at least to me.
Yeah.
I thought, like, that was probably an Achilles, and he was, you know, going to miss the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I hope he comes back.
Yeah.
Because you want to see the Lakers be able to, like, defend the championship, you know? But, yeah, I agree. LeBron is definitely getting on a mission here. He can take this team back to back. He can definitely carry him through the regular season. Hopefully it's only a couple of weeks for Davis.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Did you see any of the stuff on Draymond Green and his comments on, like, the double standard?
Yeah.
I need to ask Rich on that, and I'm going to play it at some point here. I got the recording, but just curious on what you think of those comments there. Like, it's been happening a lot, obviously, with some players in the NBA. Now the report of Blake Griffin coming up, that he's getting shut down, and that's how it really started, with Drummond getting shut down, and then obviously James Harden wanted to get traded, and you're seeing it in the NFL as well, obviously, with all these rumors coming up, and then what Deshaun Watson's doing. So for me, I'm like, each situation is different. I think I agree with what kind of what they're saying, but at the same time, the NBA is different than the NFL. These guys are collectively bargained to these rules, and I think, yeah, you shouldn't be fining players if they're asking for a trade or whatever, but the team should get fined then if they're having players sit out because they want to trade them and not have them get hurt. Like, bro, it does seem a little bit double standard to me, but it doesn't really do any tread for me when you're saying that, and that's just the rules. Like, why are you guys agreeing to that then if you can –
Yeah,
I don't know.
So that's the thing is, you know, player empowerment and all that is great. But, the thing is, if you're a player, if you sit out because you want to trade, the fans are not going to be happy with you. From the team perspective, you know, this is the deal that they have. And that's what all the money's for, man. Like, that's why you get paid the big bucks to play basketball.
Yeah, I agree. But I think what I'm thinking about, and I'm hearing all this shit, and I just think about it, like, since, like, even, like, the OBJ's thing for us, for Giants fans. Like, bro, like, this man told us that he didn't sign him to trade him and then traded him literally, like, 2 months later. And it's like, bro, like,
You can't expect any loyalty from these players when that's what these teams do. And so when a player wants to get out of a situation, I don't understand why he's just absolutely fucking like casted and raked across the coals depending on how they do it. Like James Harden's situation, different from me. Like Deshaun Watson, he's doing it a lot different than James Harden. And I think he's still getting a lot more backlash. So in me, it depends on the individual situation. But I think Draymond Green saying something like this doesn't tread water. But then when you see LeBron James putting a stamp on his statements, obviously it's going to get a little bit more traction. Like, I just think it's this whole thing in sports is just getting a little bit out of control with the player empowerment. Not that I don't agree with it, but like, where's the fine line here? Like, you're not going to go to your boss, well, and we don't work at like these
bosses. It still comes down to an employee-employer relationship.
Yeah.
That's what's tough, man, because like, yeah, you don't, I don't know. It's just, I think it's like a bigger issue and across all of everything that's going on these days, you know? It's like...
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I don't know.
I want to get into...
Exactly. I can't go to my caddy master and be like, hey, I'm not happy here. I'm going to sit out for the next week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because I wouldn't have a job. Bro. I know. It's absolutely wild. I do want to get into some of this NFL, though, for real. So, here's the thing. Let's talk about the Giants quick, because I do want to get your thoughts on Deshaun Watson and what's going on with him and where J.J. Watt could potentially go. But, because Houston Texans, they're a freaking dumpster fire. But, no one's talking about the Giants, and I love it. This is what I love, because it was like this last year, and we almost had it, but Jones got hurt. Here's the thing. Every other team in our division is getting talked about by either a dumpster fire or something going on and they need to make a move. We are just kind of flying under the radar. It's what I like to see. The draft's coming up. I'm hoping we get Devontae Smith. I saw it in a mock draft. Everyone's telling me, my brother, no way he's going to be there, bro. Fine. I'm like, let him slip, bro. He's too skinny. Dude's going to drop 150 and 3 tutties on it, and he's going to be the next fucking Kevin Durant in the NFL. But here's the thing. We got to get a wide receiver, in my opinion. I think we should do it via the draft because you've seen college wide receivers impacting first and second year much quicker in the NFL than recent years. I get maybe getting a guy that we already potentially know could do something, but I don't want somebody that is a potential we don't know. Like, even a guy like Allen Robinson, like, who's been great. Like, bro, I don't know. I'd rather get one of these young guys who could potentially break off like a Justin Jefferson than go and get an Allen Robinson. That's just me. So I hope we can get one of those in our draft. I believe we got pick 11 is what it is, but it'll be interesting to see. No one talking about this is great, though. Because the Eagles got a dumpster fire situation. I need to get your take on what's going on in Philly because I think they're fucked. Yeah. The Cowboys got franchise tag Dak problems. And the Washington football team, let's be real, they're the scariest for us. But if they get a quarterback, a lot of them talking Cam, bro, bring that in. I'm gonna be pumped to see that. That ain't going to be nothing.
Yeah, go ahead with Cam Newton. But, yeah, no, I think that there's great value at the receiver position, like around that, like mid first round to like second, third round. Those guys can play. They come out of college with a lot of skill, and the way the game's played these days, it's fucking patty cake. You know, like, you don't have to be big. You know, if you're fast, you're gonna be all right.
True.
You got the hands, you got the skills. Those guys coming out of the SEC catching footballs are pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. I did listen to all the postseason interview podcasts.
Yep. With,
like, all the Giants, which were awesome, if you haven't heard them.
Yep.
Gettleman and Joe Judge and
yep.
Daniel Jones and everybody. It was good. Yep, I'm always going to be a little fired up for the Giants, so, you know, you got me a little excited here.
I love it. I'm just curious. Is there's so much quarterback movement, and I told this to Chu, and he thought I was crazy when I said this. I'm like, yo, Chu, the Broncos are going to get Deshaun Watson. You know what's reporting and surfacing right now? That the Broncos are not only interested in going all out on Deshaun Watson, but Deshaun Watson is interested in the Broncos. If they get him, Chew's going to owe me fucking a big Subway sandwich and some donuts. But here's the thing. There's like nine. You can go look. There's like nine teams that we could be like, yep, they need a quarterback. Like literally, they need a quarterback before the season starts. One of those teams that's not even being mentioned is the Giants. And I do think that that is interesting just in a way because everyone's like, especially the Giants fans, well, yep, Daniel Jones is the guy. And I'm not saying I don't like Daniel Jones, but I don't know if I love him. And he hasn't really shown me that where I'm like, yeah, I love this kid going forward when there's all these talks about quarterback movement. But it seems like he's going to be the guy, obviously, this upcoming year. And it's going to be his year to prove to not only us fans, but to the team, that he can actually fucking compete and win games. Because it's really relied a lot on him, in my opinion, and why we're losing some of these games. So, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed on it. But, is this the last year for him? Like, if he doesn't go out, if we don't, like, at least contend for a playoff spot. Like, are we sitting back and saying, yep, Gettleman's got to go, and so does Daniel Jones?
Yeah. I like Gettleman, yeah, I'm in the same boat with DJ. Like him, don't love him. I think he got off to a good start this past season, and then he had a couple injuries that kind of derailed him.
Yeah.
And obviously Saquon going down like fucks the whole season.
Yep.
We got to get the Giants need more wins. That's what it comes down to. Like,
yeah,
they need to win more games.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, do I think Danny can help us win more games? Yeah. Would I put us in the bottom 10 for quarterbacks in the league? Probably not. But would I put us in the top 15? Definitely not.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's like right there. He's probably like 16. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's literally that one guy that, like, can you just get into the top 15 and we might be fucking able to, like, make the – like, I don't know. I'm just – that's to me. Everything's going to rely on it. The defense. I've been saying this, and none of that is coming up. About, you got J.J. Watt saying he wants to go here, wants to go there. Free agency's wild. But I've been saying, bro, come to the Giants, bro. What? Like, we need a guy like that. Like, we need a guy like J.J. Watt, in my opinion. And everyone's saying, oh, he wants to go to a contender. I'm like, bro, what do you mean? We're right there. Like, I don't know. Where do you think J.J. Watt's going to wind up? He's saying he thinks Cleveland is a potential thing. I'm like, bro, Cleveland? I'm like, they had one good season. I'm like, bro, come to the G-Man. We're way better.
Yeah, you think Cleveland's a contender, then I don't know what the hell you're looking at. But, J.J., I don't know. If I'm him, I'm going to try and go to the best situation I can because he's a vet. He's kind of in control of his own destiny. Like, if I were him, I'd definitely be going to a contender team. I don't blame him for that. I'd love to see him in New York.
Yeah, I would. I think it'd be a great sign. I really hope Gettleman could fucking do it, but we'll see. It doesn't sound like that's happening at all. It doesn't sound like we're doing anything at all besides just waiting for the draft, which is like fucking BS, bro. Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm livid, bro, because these are things that, like, yeah, obviously everyone wants to get into Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. I don't think that's realistic for the Giants, but I do think J.J. Watt would be. I think J.J. Watt would be great for us. And what our defense did last year, I think everyone's sleeping on that. And you add a guy like J.J. Watt with bringing a lot of these guys back, bro, that'd be incredible. If Daniel Jones could get right and Saquon comes back, 75% of Saquon, we're going to fucking win the fucking division, even though our schedule is real tough. And I don't want to get into it right now. I do want to get into what?
I was having it's funny, just on the defense. I was having a conversation with my dad, and I forgot that Jabril Peppers was, like, almost won a Heisman in college at fucking Michigan with Harbaugh.
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah, Jabril Peppers has been a great... We got great stuff back in that trade. As much as I would love to have OBJ still, bro, he's missed like 25 games in the last 4 years, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been tough.
We got our legs out of them.
Yeah, it's been tough for OBJ. I do think he's got to get right, or it's going to be, oh man, I'm praying he can get right, but we'll see. I did want to get your take on the Eagles thing, though, because they're Wentz, right? He's talked about getting traded. It hasn't happened yet. And it's probably because they're asking for too much. Here's the deal. There are talks of now trading him still, and they still want to potentially draft a QB at the sixth pick. What the fuck are they doing here? What are the Eagles doing? Like, when I talk to Duke and I see him, I'm gonna be like, dude, what is going on here? Like, this is not good moves that the Eagles are doing. This is horrible.
Yeah, you want to know how to piss Duke off?
Yeah, talk shit about the Eagles? Yeah, for real.
No, I mean, it seems like institutional issues, right? It seems like it's from the top and bleeding down from the owner to the president to the GM, whoever else, you know. It seems like they've got some serious issues inside their team.
Yeah, I feel bad for Duke. All right, I got two last things before you go, and then I got to ask you one question. Two questions on the way out. All right, man. So this is important to me to get in for you because you're here. I don't know. You've been seeing this shit. This actually pisses me off. This is scripted BS bullshit about Tom Brady that always is trying to clout this man's reputation. Like, oh, shit, he's having off-season surgery. Now he's working out already. Oh, he's apologizing publicly to Tyrann Mathieu. He wouldn't have done that if they lost the game. Bro, all this shit that I see on Tom Brady on a consistent basis, back to work, hashtag eyes on eight, this, that. It's all scripted BS, bro, and I hate it. And this is the type of shit that I see on Tom Brady on a consistent basis where, bro, it ain't about the team. It's all about him, his reputation, his brand, his TB12 bullshit, which realistically, I think, hey, man, good for him to win another Super Bowl. He ain't winning anymore. All these people talking about them running it back, they ain't doing that. They got way too many people to sign. Then all these people are like, oh, man, he's going to be playing for another 3-4 more years. Yeah, good luck with that, pal. Like, he looked okay this year. Not everyone trying to act like this man's turning back the clock, looking like he's 25. I just don't get what you're watching. So, I just need to know. Because I've been seeing it. Like, is this not scripted BS that you think he's doing? Like his public apology tweet. His fucking... Him throwing the trophy at the parade, you know, all this. It's all BS to me, bro. Like, what? It's all trying to make him look like, oh, my God, look, and he apologized. Oh, my God, look, he can throw a trophy over a boat. Like, yeah, you and me can fucking do that. Who the fuck cares? Like, it's just all this shit that goes public on Tom Brady that just, oh, he's the fucking man. Dude, I fucking, just tell me that it's not what that is. Like, just please, please. You can tell me he's so good at football, and I will have to eat it on that. But tell me this is not, like, scripted BS. Like, oh, they're telling me what he's eating now. I don't give a fuck. Oh, he can eat pizza if he wants. What the fuck is this shit? Bro, it's such a joke, bro. It's a fucking joke.
Dude, it sounds like you're a hater, man.
Nah, that's the thing. Like, I'm not... Like, that's the thing that pisses me off, dude. Like, I'm not even... I'm hating on the fact that this shit is happening. I am not hating on the...
I never even heard the apology, so I don't know what that was.
It's just all BS, bro. But, like, then... Okay, you want to go break down him actually winning, which we've done before. Man's fucking cheated, and he's the sorriest fucking sore loser in the sport. So, yeah, bro, I hate on him. It doesn't mean I don't think he's not a great player. Like, yeah, what the fuck? But, like, I don't see other quarterbacks out here got caught cheating with teams, got caught being a sore loser and not dapping up other teams when you lose. Like, to me, that's a turnoff. I don't care how many fucking times he's won. That's not cool for me. I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. And then the last most important football question before you go. I know you're going to love this. Are you going to be watching the fan-controlled football league at all? Do you even know what this is?
I didn't even... Dude, I've seen, like, the things for it.
You should get in, like, that, bro. What the fuck? I'll vote for you to be on that. Like, Johnny Manziel, one reception, 11 yards. Johnny Manziel makes a return. I needed to ask you about that. They got cameras on the helmets. You got Marshawn Lynch talking about taking shits and doing shits, and he should be calling all NFL games, but there's no way he could. He'd swear too much. But, yeah, bro, like, Manziel's making a return, his interview, oh, yeah, we lost this one, but win or lose, we're boozing on the Zappers. I'm like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? I'm like, what? what is good with this league? Like I'm just like I'm not trying to watch this shit. Like, are you? Like, nah, it's streaming on Twitch.
I'm
like, nah.
Not really interested in it. Honestly, it's funny. You know, it's like a shtick. I don't know. Maybe it'll work out because they're doing it on like Twitch and like you like vote. Or something like that.
Yeah, like it's the whole idea seems a bit cool, but I'm basically asking you in terms of like this. Like, this is this not so fucking sad to see Johnny Manziel doing this? Like, to see where Johnny Manziel's at after winning a Heisman and being like a top projected pick, best, you know, a guy that can take a franchise. Dude's out of league within a couple years. Now he's playing in the controlled football team. It's just like, bro, what is going on here? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think Johnny Manziel, like, I think he's fine with where he's at, though. Like, I think he's, like, at peace with his life. Like,
yeah.
Manziel was a rich kid. He didn't need to make a shit ton of money playing football. Like, he got into the NFL. He started partying. And then he, like, quit football. And, like, now he just golfs and gambles on sports and hangs out with the boys and shit.
Yeah, I just think it's just wasted talent, man. I really do.
For sure.
And it's basically...
Sure, I don't think it bothers him.
Nah, maybe it doesn't. But, like, for me, it's like looking at you, like, it's like you caddy at Pebble Beach, right? Like, this is like you going from caddying at Pebble Beach to caddying at the Muni down 125 miles away that has no grass. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like I'm going to be like, dude, what? Why did you do that? Like, I don't care that you got more money. Like, stay where you're at. Like, I don't know. Yeah. All right, before you go, the 25th anniversary of Happy Gilmore yesterday was a thing, and I just need to get your take on Happy Gilmore, basically the best classic golf movie of all time, obviously, but just an instant classic in terms of movies.
Yeah, great movie.
Oh, my God. What a absolute fire movie. Just any
great
quick shit on Happy Gilmore?
The prime of Adam Sandler, dude. Scooter McGavin. Oh, doesn't get any better than that.
All right, and I just need to know quick, too. So I saw this thing. It was Adam Sandler sports movies or Will Ferrell sports movies. To me,
okay.
Without a doubt, it's Adam Sandler. Like, come on. Like, I don't watch a lot of movies. I've seen all of them, but when I go look at the four or five listed from each, I'm like, dude, no way. Happy Gilmore is the best movie, like, all time, basically. And then
I can't even think of Will Ferrell ones other than the basketball.
Semi-pro, which is his best one. Then he's got like Blades of Glory, which is the hockey one. He's got Talladega Nights, which is like the race car one.
Okay, for sure. Okay.
But like, right. I don't put him up there with Adam Sandler with Happy Gilmore, Longest Yard. Yeah, bro. I don't know. I can't put him up
that's
past.
That's actually interesting. That's actually fun.
I'll let you do a little research and think about it and come back next time and give me a little spit on what you got. Last thing I had, which was, today's the 17th of February. It's Michael Jordan's birthday and Jim Brown's birthday. 58 for MJ, 85 for Jim Brown. Then you got December 30th, LeBron James or Tiger Woods on that day. I just need to know, what day would you rather have as a birthday? December 30th? Or February 17th. To me, both iconic if you're a sports fan.
I don't give a shit. I like my birthday in the summertime.
When is your birthday?
End of July.
Yeah, that's
we're in the same freaking...
Yeah, my birthday's in... Yeah, that's what I thought. My birthday's in July, too, but...
July 4th.
I would easily pick... I think it's cool to say my birthday was MJ, but I'd easily pick LeBron and Tiger. I mean, that's a way better duo to me.
Yeah, that's a sick combo.
That's a way better duo.
I don't know who Jim Brown is, dude. I never saw that guy play.
Yeah, of course you haven't. All right, you got anything else or are you getting out of here? What are you doing the rest of the day? You golfing?
Yeah. I'm going to the gym right now and then quick workout, and then I'm going to go walk, hopefully 18. It might get too dark to make it all the way around, but
word,
we'll
man.
See.
Glad you gave
me the day off, so
love that.
Taking advantage of it.
Glad you gave me a little time today to catch up on some sports. I was fire. Enjoy the rest of your day off. Sunshine's looking fire. It's always good to see you, brother.
Always good talking, my man.
All right, my man. Be good.
Peace.
Hey, Roger. Going to take a quick break. Here on the Seggy Station, hopefully Rich comes through. Be right back on the Sega Station. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Sega Station is brought to you by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is his dog. Shout out to Rescue Mutt to many, but a life-saving companion to me. To me, nothing promotes true home happiness and household. Better love and companion of a pet, especially at a time like this. Get yourself a loyal pet friend like mine at your local animal shelter, pound, and nursery. Save their life and they just might save yours. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. Duke freshman Jalen Johnson opts out of the rest of the season, projected number 6 overall in this upcoming NBA draft to prepare for that NBA draft, raising a lot of controversy, basically saying that he quit on his team. I don't agree with that at all. ESPN NBA All-Star travel test and protocols have been set. Players and guests must stay at the hotel. All-Star game fan concerns from Atlanta Mayor. March 7th is the actual schedule of the event. Skills and three-point to take place prior to the All-Star game. Dunk contest at halftime, a single night event for the NBA. Interesting to see how that goes. MJ talked about it being his birthday. He's also making $10 million donations to open new health clinics in his hometown of Wilmington, North Carolina. MJ always giving back. Sad story here is former NFL wide receiver Vincent Jackson, 38, found dead in his Tampa home. Confirmed that after an investigation, he suffered from alcoholism and potentially CTE as well. He last played with the Buccaneers, but primarily known for playing with the Chargers. A decent NFL career for Vincent Jackson. Rest in peace. Thoughts and prayers to his family. D'Angelo Russell will undergo arthroscopic surgery to remove loose body in his left knee. Talked about J.J. Watt a little bit with Raj. Much love coming through Raj. He says he's, quote, seriously considering the Browns as a potential destination. We'll wait and see where J.J. Watt lands. As he says, free agency is wild. Anthony Davis is to miss 2 to 3 weeks with a calf strain at least. Going to talk about that hopefully a little bit with my dude Rich Hot Takes Letty here in a moment. Also going to talk about Andre Robeson. He's agreed to a deal with the Nets. Rich Wojnarowski, right on the money. A bettor dropped $10,000 for a $5 million payout on the Wizards to win an NBA title. Welcome back, James Bouknight. Win 2 straight for the Huskies as they started out 7-1, 2-4 without Bouknight. But he is back. UConn on a 2-game win streak, and they play Saturday, 12:30 p.m. up against number 10 Nova on Fox Sports 1. Serena and Naomi Osaka are set to face off in the Australian Open Finals. That's going to be must-see TV as Rory McIlroy was elected as the 2021 PGA Tour Player Advisory Council Chairman. Blake Griffin won't play for the Pistons until they figure out his future. And Draymond Green comments regarding player movement in the league being a double standard has clearly raised some conversations. Hopefully I'll get into with Rich. Finally, newly minted Hall of Famer Calvin Johnson Jr. and former Lions guard Rob Sims are producing their own marijuana and opening 2 dispensaries in Michigan. Shout out to the Hall of Famer Calvin Johnson. Tune it back in. Nick Seglin here. Listen to Seggy Station Podcast. Appreciate all the love and support for the podcast as always. Been real fire what's been going on with the podcast recently with a couple new guest on the podcast this past week, which meant a lot. And then obviously the normals boys coming through and talking and spin a little, chopping up a little bit of sports. So much love to all them. Much love to all the people viewing and listening to the podcast, following any of the platforms that I'm on, Instagram, Twitch, Twitter, all the likes, views, and support there is always appreciated as well. Just trying to really grow and continue to work on all the hard work I put into where I've gotten with the podcast, and I can't do it without any of the support. So always got to shout y'all out and appreciate it as always. Looking forward to hopefully getting into a little bit of a conversation across the NBA with Rich. Not sure if he's going to make it or not. Told him I would try and stick around for at least a little bit to see if he could make it. I did want to touch on the Draymond Green stuff with Rich, and for anybody that didn't hear it, I will have the audio clip. Hopefully Rich is in here shortly. Draymond Green and some of the stuff he has said about the double standards in basically some of the situations we've been seeing across the league the past week or so.
And nothing happens. There's no penalty. The trade is put out there by a team and they put it out there. However, a player can be fined if they publicly say they want to be traded. Remember, like Anthony Davis got fined $50,000, that's all folks t-shirt? So that's a double standard. Teams can do one thing, get no penalty. Players come out and say, I want to go. They get fined. And then Draymond said this about that.
To watch Andre Drummond before the game. Sit on the sideline and go to the back and then come out in street clothes because a team is going to trade him. It's blunt. Because when James Harden asked for a trade, then essentially dogged it. I don't think there was no surprise or no, you know, there's no one's going to fight back that James was dogged it his last days in Houston. But he was castrated for wanting to go to a different team and everybody destroyed that. Say, oh, we want to trade a guy, and then that guy is to go sit. And if he doesn't stay professional, then he's a cancer, and he's not good in someone's locker room, and he's the issue.
He, the floor is yours. What do you think of that statement?
He brings up some very interesting points, and I do think there's a lot of things to potentially look at in what Draymond Green says there. Because, yeah, if a team is doing what they're doing right now in the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Detroit Pistons and sitting down a player to trade him to keep his value up so he doesn't get hurt or whatever the situation is, that team should be fine. If you're going to go and fine Anthony Davis, James Harden, Deshaun Watson for players that aren't happy with their situation and want to sit out. But everyone's going to have their own opinion on that. And I do think with sports, the whole player empower movement that, yeah, you can still agree with. There is a fine line. And I do think Draymond Green is getting slightly close to that line. But then you have guys... And that's Keyshawn Johnson. But like I was trying to say, is everyone's going to have their own. That's both sides of the coin. I mean, like I said, all this with Raj, all the situations to me are different. Like James Harden is a different situation than Andre Drummond or Blake Griffin, a guy who hasn't dunked since 2019. Like, here's the thing. If those teams are doing that, they should probably get fined. But that's not in the collective bargaining agreement either, and that probably should be. So that should probably get worked out. Maybe you should work out the fact that if a player wants to voice the fact that he wants to get moved, they shouldn't be fined. That should probably be worked out in the collective bargaining agreement between the players and the NBA. And it's not. And I think that's basically the conversation here. And I know Rich will have something to say about it. Glad you made it through. What's good, Rich?
Yo, what's going on? What are we talking about?
I just finished playing the Draymond Green report there. And basically then there is this clip that I have of LeBron James after his win last night and basically putting a stamp on it, not only with his words, but on his Instagram page. Just take a quick listen to this before we get into that. I think that's the important part is that they do want people to understand that there's two sides of the coin. And I do think there's some important things to take out of what Draymond and LeBron stamping here, which is, hey, man, if a team is doing what they're doing with now Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, they should probably be getting fined if you're going to fine players that want to do things like Anthony Davis and James Harden. I do think all situations are different, though. Like, James Harden is not the same situation as Andre Drummond. And does it really make sense to then fine teams for wanting to do that if the team would what? Then be fining themselves? Like, they're the person in charge. And these are things in the CBA. So, obviously, it brings up some juicy conversations. But I do think if I were to be asked, like, do you agree with Draymond Green here? I would say, not really. Like, some parts I do agree with. But in essence, then change the rules if you can do that with the CBA. Like, these are the rules. This is what it's set up to be. Like, I was saying with Raj a little bit, and he was saying, like, this is the same thing with you, though. Like, could you go to Indeed and be like, oh, I'm gonna shut down for a week or whatever? Or, like, this or that? Like, I don't know. It just seems like the athlete, and I'm all for player empowerment, is getting a little bit too far with this whole player empowerment thing.
Yeah, I never want to be the guy that's like, well, they get paid millions of dollars, so shut up. Or like, you never want to be that guy, and that's not what I'm saying. But I don't want to teeter too far in that line, because I don't necessarily agree with Draymond. Like, it all sounds good, and I think I'm more on the side of what you just said right there. It all sounds good. I don't necessarily, like, disagree with everything he said there. But at the end of the day, it's like, we think of these guys as larger than life, and they kind of are. Like, it would be nuts to walk by LeBron or Draymond just even, like, randomly in public. Like, they are kind of larger than life. But we forget it's, like, it's not like me to Indeed or the company I work at. Like, obviously, they're more valuable. My company could replace me with someone who does sales, and they wouldn't be as good at the start, but, like, they'd be fine. The NBA can't just replace its star players with someone else. So, like, they are more valued than your average employee at your average company, but they are still an employee. Like, they are an employee of the organization. Like, I think you can argue maybe the NBA should fine teams if you have, like, a max player, a star player, like Blake. The Blake scenario is different, but, like, Andre Drummond or something, you're willingly not playing him. If you want to say the NBA should fine teams for that, then maybe. But, like, I don't really think the team should get in trouble for that. At the end of the day, it's their investment. It's their loss of money. They're trying to get rid of the guy. It's their asset, kind of, at that point. Like, it's shitty to refer to players as assets in a way, but that's kind of what they are in this fucking business. That's why they get paid so much money, because teams have control over, like, a little bit of what they do, who they are, what they say. Like, their brands have control over that. Like, that's just kind of life. Like, that's kind of what comes with being, like, in the spotlight and getting this money. And I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, like, you get paid this much, shut up. But, like, it's kind of the reason they get paid so much is because they have to do some of these things, and they have to be publicly treated like an asset. Indeed couldn't treat me like that. That'd be like an HR violation for Indeed to just be like, nah, go home, you're not working, and not give me a reason and be like, what? Like, that would literally be an HR violation. But in the NBA, like, that's the business.
Yeah, no, traded, I agree.
You can get dropped. You can get waived. Like, you know that going in. Like, it's shitty. It doesn't sound good. I feel like I sound like a dick saying it, but I feel like that's kind of the answer.
No, I agree. I'm glad I brought it up with you, because that's basically the way I feel. And you just say.
Obviously, we touched on it a bunch here.
You know, I think I've kind of gotten to a point where, like, if they kind of, like I just talked about there, like, the CBA could have been like, nah, we're not trying to have this. But like you said, like, they're basically saying, like, it's cool that we have the game, and the NBA is pushing forward for, like, oh, the players want to have it, we're having it. Like, it's safe enough for us to have it. We're going to set it up this way. I'm just curious on what you think of the setup. They're going to have what is basically being reported as the skills and three-point prior to the game being played, dunk contest at halftime, obviously finish of the game, all in one night, which I think will be pretty sweet, because the whole thing for me is like, damn, I have to watch this for, like, you know, two or three different nights. Like, nah, I just want to watch this one night, and they're going to try and do it all on one night. The Atlanta mayor is very concerned about fans being there, in which the NBA is saying fans are allowed. So I'm a little bit confused in that aspect. We've talked about, oh, it's going to be safe. Well, then, like, to me, it's not going to be as safe if you're allowing fans. And, like, we're seeing it in the NBA, like, more and more fans coming back, but not in all places. And I talked about this a little bit with my other guy, Rich, that came on the pod last week for the first time. Like, he kind of agrees with me. Like, can we all have fans at all games or no games. Like, it just seems a little bit unfair. So I'm cool with it being either all games or no games. And in my case, if you're going to try and have the All-Star game, in which we talked about, we're trying it to be safe and as safe as possible. Why are we allowing fans? But just wanted to get your take on, obviously, the NBA All-Star game, which does plan to take place March 7th.
It's tough because the NBA has always been, at least out of like the four main sports league organizations over our time or over my time watching it, has been one of the, I'd say, the better run one, whether it's on like social, like economic stuff going on, social stuff going on, just within the league, players getting treated the right, player empowerment. Like, they're usually trying to do the right thing. And I think this is a little bit like, unfortunately, where you see the other side of things just because of money, really. At the end of the day, like, I think if they had the choice in Adam Silver's like heart of hearts, like, what he'd rather do is probably not do this and knows this isn't ideal. But I think at the end of the day, when you have all these teams, all the league losing so much money from the season going down last year, losing out on playoff audiences last year, losing out on a bunch of televised games last year, missing out on audiences this year, like, I think the NBA is just trying to recoup some of that money and, like, for better or worse, is basically saying, like, look, like, we got this. Just let us do this. Like, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying it's the right thing. I have no idea what they're going to do with fans there. I agree with you that it's going to be, even if, like, LeBron or whoever isn't there, I think we've talked about it before. I think players should be able to opt out if they want to. I don't think you should force those guys to be there. Like, you want them to want to be there. Like, you want it to be, like, a fun event that players get to go to, not, like, fucking punishment. I think it will be cool. I think it'll be like a jam-packed thing with the dunk contest in between. Like, its own night for the dunk contest with no fans and stuff would have been the lamest thing in the world. But I guess it'll be cool if they do like a paced-up version at halftime or something. So, as a fan, sure, looking forward to watching it, I guess. But, like, yeah, it's some questionable stuff, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's basically the way I feel too. Like, it's not like I'm not going to watch it, but I'm just not so sure why it's going down like that if you're going to be saying it's so safe. They're allowing like 600 people in there at one time. Like, it's this whole thing where, like, I don't know. It's like based on where you're at, right? So it's like she's explaining to me. I'm like, that doesn't seem safe. But like, she's explaining to me why it is, and it's like, all right. So then it is. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not gonna argue with like them being say that it's told. It's, I don't know. I'm just like, all right, man. So like, if the NBA is being told they could do it, I just think they're gonna do it. All right, let's get into I'll be able to rattle through a ton of NBA because obviously I'm right and wrong a bunch, and I'm setting a shorter timer to go through each one. Let's start with this. I guess it's only good if you start where you're wrong. Shows you're a bigger man, and I've certainly been wrong about how the Nets' big three has been meshing together. I will say this. Kyrie sat out a game in which I'm like, why are you sitting out a game? And then they go and win back-to-back games with Kyrie in one of them, in which he goes for 40, and James Harden just incredible games in both. No KD in either. Like, bro, the whole thing is like, let's get them all on the court together, and they're still winning some of these tough games. Like, they got a tough West Coast schedule, but they're winning games mainly because this is probably the best offensive trio we've seen in a long time, if not all time, and it's turning out to work a lot better than I thought. Not on the defensive side of the ball, but definitely on the offensive side of the ball. And the Nets are currently the number two seed after a four-game win streak and a four-game losing streak by the Milwaukee Bucks, who had them beat out. So just curious, Rich. Obviously, the Nets are what they are, and they are going to be what they are. But does this now make them more legit in your eyes to compete to make it to a championship just with how we've seen them playing and how we've seen some of the other NBA shaking out?
I don't think it changes too much for me. I think with players that good, you're going to get wins on regular season games. You're going to lose to teams you shouldn't with defense that bad. You're going to beat teams you shouldn't with offense that good. So I'm not going to take too much from any one individual game. The only thing that could really change my mind is if they have like a stretch of 3-4 games where they're like holding teams under 110 points. It's crazy that 110 points is low now. Like, growing up, 100 points is high. But like, they're just letting teams get over 120 so much. If you can hold teams around 110 a few games, that'll look good to me. I mean, I know I'm always a big Harden guy, but like, not even to rave about him too much, but like, last night, I guess, was a good thing in my eyes. Like, goddamn, if James Harden can beat the Suns with, like, that roster without KD and Kyrie, like, what, Joe Harris and DeAndre Jordan were the second best dudes out there? Harden was just gunning. Like, if you can have that dude with KD and Kyrie out there, then, I mean, I guess defense might not matter.
Yeah, I mean, he had 38, 7, and 11. Like, I talked about, like, hey, can you step up if those aren't going to play? Well, he did that. And I'm like, hey, can you go there and not want to score 40 a game? Well, he's doing that, leading the league in assists. Like, everything I asked him to do, he's doing. So it's like, it's kind of hard to shit on him now because he's actually doing things I didn't expect him to do. So it's like, oh, all right. But I don't think it changes my take on the Nets making it out of the East, particularly just in this year, just based on the depth. But they do bring in a guy like Andre Roberson, which, by the way, Rich Wojnarowski, right on the fucking money. And I'm like, yo, is this the move that takes them to the finals? I mean, they're making some moves. Noah Vonleh, Roberson. I'm not saying these are guys that are big name. Oh, they're going to fucking take them over the top. But is it enough depth to add to be able to do that with those big three? Maybe. They're at least making some of those moves like we talked about. And obviously with other moves going on, it'll be interesting to see. We'll obviously be following it. Wanted to get into a little more.
I want to say this real quick.
The one
thing about last night, and I realized it, people always like, oh, like, it sucks watching James Harden play, which, like, I agree with, and I, like, I understand the way he plays sometimes. I realized the thing last night that I like watching play about him. It makes no sense how he hits the shots he hits. You're literally watching, like, how is the defender not fucking guarding? It makes no sense, and it's like, I guess it shows how good he is, but if you're not, like, if you haven't watched a lot of NBA, I feel like you're watching that dude going, like, what is the defense doing? He's moving so slow and taking the same shot every time, and he just fucking gets it off. Like, a little just slowly lull him to sleep, step back three. It's impressive. It's not the most fun thing to watch, but it's impressive that he gets it off each time.
So, where Seg was right was with the Suns. They did lose that game, 29-4-7, but they are sitting up there in playoff contention. Chris Paul, wherever he goes, they win, and wherever he doesn't go, they fall apart. Like, OKC fell apart. They were a playoff team last year. Like, obviously Houston, they're not looking good. I don't think they're making the thing going on with Chris Paul and where he goes. I mean, this dude, I was listening to Colin Cord today talk about this. Glad he's back. Bro, this dude's a walking MVP, in my opinion. Like, wherever he goes, that team instantly gets better and gets into playoff contention. Chris Paul will have the Suns in the playoffs. Just curious to think if you think that's going to foresee all the way through, basically now a little bit over a third of the season. But Suns are, even though they lose that game, they're still looking good. They're learning, but Chris Paul has them in a spot where they're going to compete, obviously, in my opinion, in to make a playoff spot.
Suns are good. I believe in them. I think they're semi-legitimate contenders. Like, not to me, not on the, like, Clipper Laker level if the Lakers are healthy, but they're right there with, like, the Jazz as the teams, like, right after that to me. So I think I'd have them above, like, my Blazers right now, probably, to be completely honest with you. The tough part with them is, like, not the big man or the biggest thing in the world. Like, DeAndre Ayton's tough. Like, he comes and goes. Like, I don't know. That's going to be their tough one. But, like, I love Mikal Bridges. Jay Crowder's great everywhere he goes. Like, I can't – the Heat messed up letting him go. But, like, having Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, and Bridges out there, if DeAndre Ayton can figure it out a little bit more on defense, then, yeah, I mean, I think they're the next closest thing to a contender, if not quite there.
Yeah, team's looking good. Monty Williams looking good as a coach, and I think Devin Booker, if he didn't take that shot the other night and let Chris Paul take it, maybe different. But
if Chris Paul will go down as like a top two or three at worst point guard of all time. If he were 2 inches taller, he'd be like the best guard ever and like a top five player ever. He's just a little screwed by being a tiny bit too short.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Certainly I was wrong about the Wizards, right? But, like, they can make a comeback, and I think that it's possible. Like, in the East, it seems to be possible right now where, like, when I went and look at the standings and where the Heat are at, and, like, they lost a game last night, they're still potentially probably playing in the play-in or making the playoffs. Like, yeah, if they were in the West, they'd be tied right now with the Rockets and Thunder, which are the literally third bottom league besides the T-Wolves, I'm sorry, which are the worst teams.
So, the Wizards, I think, can make a comeback. I think it's just so tough how people are constantly shitting on Russ, dude. Like, this guy's 6'3", who averaged a triple-double with 10.6 rebounds a game for 3 straight years. Gives it all
on the court. And 9-time All-Star, 9-time All-NBA, 2017 MVP. Like, it's just everybody hating on this man. It's like nobody wants to appreciate him because, like, the team's not winning? Like, all right, man, he's still playing good, in my opinion. Like, Brad Beal playing, obviously, out of his mind. Bertans is back. If they can rattle off some wins, they can get into that play-in spot or potentially the 8th seed. I still think it's possible for this team to make the playoffs, and I still think if you do, it's because of Russ, him being out there, regardless of what they're saying the record is when he's out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's always just going to get hate because of how good he was and kind of like how he was so good. Like, people, I think that MVP will always cement his hate. They'll just be people that just, like, don't like that he got it on, like, a team that didn't advance past the first round, on a team that was a 6th seed. But, like, I don't know. He's just one of those guys. Like, it's not quite to the extent Melo was, but Melo's similar. LeBron was similar early on in his careers where, like, their fans love them so much and it makes the other people who hate them just hate them even more. It's like a – it's just a stupid thing. It's ridiculous. Yeah, he gets overhated. It's not his fault the Wizards are losing, but it does bring into question, though. Like, we don't have to spend too much time on it, but, like, I don't know where the spot is. Not as an indictment on Russ, but I don't know where the spot is where it's like, oh, I'll move Russ there, and, like, that's the game changer. Like, yeah, the Clippers probably would be huge because they're so bad at point guard. Like, yeah, that'd be a huge one, but that's not realistic. And he said he wants to, like, carry a team. Like, that's why he went to the Wizards. He's like, I want to be the guy on the team. Like, I don't think Russ can be the guy on the team. He needs someone. He's got someone better than him in Beal, but he needs a good team around him too. He's not like that dude anymore.
Yeah, but this is a good spot for him, like, where he could kind of still be the guy, but also and like he's doing that a little more now, and they can start rattling off some wins. They beat the Rockets. Obviously, the whole thing going on the other night with Brad Beal going up against John Wall and former in DC, and John Wall had a season high and, you know, had a great game, but they lose the game and the Rockets are sliding a little bit. But where I was right, and we need to get into it for just a quick second, is with the Knicks, bro. They're sixth in the East right now. 14-15, 123-112 the other night over the Hawks. They're beating good teams. Like, the Hawks were a team that I thought were going to be up there as well, and they are. They're beating good teams, man. Julius Randle, 44 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists, 7 of 13 from 3. I mean, you go look at some of the stuff this dude's doing, you send it to me. He's got more points than Anthony Davis or Karl-Anthony Towns, more rebounds than Embiid and Bam Adebayo. You know my love for Bam, Embiid in the MVP talks. More assists than Jrue Holiday and Donovan Mitchell. I mean, Randle's shooting higher 3-point percentage than Damian Lillard and Buddy Hield. It's just incredible. Like, I didn't expect him to be this good, obviously, but he is. And that helps. Tom Thibodeau, Derrick Rose coming in. Quickly a great pick. Toppin not getting a lot of minutes yet. He's still there. Robinson goes down. He'll be back. Like, I love what the Knicks are doing, and I definitely think they're going to be in a playoff spot, something I predicted. And you looked at me like I was crazy, and it's turning out to be they're right up in there, man. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Should have put money on that one. They had, like, I saw some stuff today, like Bleacher Report had them projected for 13 wins this year, and they just got their 14th the other day. They were projected for like 0% probability to make the playoffs by Bleacher Report and stuff. Some stuff. That's just one place, but like, yeah, you were right on the money on that. I would never have projected them to make the playoffs, and I'm not a bunch of my buddies at work. Or a few of my buddies at work shit on me that we go to Knicks games with because I've always hated Julius Randle so much. And it's like, I will admit, he is a million times better. I'm not going to admit, I will admit I was wrong about who he would be in the future. I was not wrong about who he was last year. And like, I see a lot of people talk about on Twitter too, like, it's an enormous improvement. Like, maybe it's Tom Thibodeau. Maybe it wasn't Julius Randle's fault. So in that case, I was wrong, but maybe it was our coaching staff. Like, this Julius Randle did not exist last year. This dude was not the Julius Randle on the Knicks last year. And I give a lot of credit to him, a lot of credit to Tom Thibodeau, Leon Rose in the front office. Like, the Knicks have been great. They look like an entirely new franchise this year. I don't want to get too hyped up because the man Dolan's still there, and it's kind of like the Cowboys. What can go wrong will go wrong. But I will be excited about our potential. They're at least getting in the play-in tournament this year, I'd say. Like, at worst, they're getting in the play-in tournament, which is, like, pretty exciting.
For sure, dude. Julius Randle is on pace to become just the second player in NBA history to average more than 10 rebounds and 5 assists while shooting over 40% from 3 and over 80% from the free stripe, joining Larry Bird in his 94-95 MVP season. Like, this man has been playing incredible, and if you're a Knicks fan, you got to be pumped. So I'm certainly right about that. Where I was certainly wrong was about the Jazz, because in my opinion, they're the best team right now in the NBA, and just for a ton of reasons. Obviously, the way they're winning games, but Donovan Mitchell and Gobert being that piece, all these other pieces around. You got Jordan Clarkson the other night, goes for 40 points, 40 points, eight threes. I mean, in the same game, they go up and beat the Sixers. They're beating good teams. They're winning a hell amount of games and by double digits. Been covering all the stuff on the Jazz. They're the best team in the NBA right now. If I had to go look at the rest of the NBA, I think they're the best team. And we'll see if they can keep it up. But they're playing without guys. They're playing up against good teams. Ben Simmons goes for 40-something points as well. They lose the game. Joel Embiid didn't play. But the Jazz are for real. And the way they're winning games is pretty spectacular. They're going to stay on this run. Like, this could be something special we're seeing with the Utah Jazz.
So I think I asked you last time, Jazz or Clippers in the playoffs. So I'm not, I mean, I agree with you on everything you said there, so I don't have anything to add. So I'll ask you this again. Fully healthy, Nurkic, CJ McCollum, Jazz or Blazers in the playoffs? Say they're the 4 and 5 seed. Well, the Jazz probably won't be the 4 seed, but say they match up first or second round. Who you got?
Are those guys going to be fully healthy, though, is my question.
Yeah. They'll be back in, CJ's thing was 4 to 6 weeks, and it's been like 3 weeks. Nurk's was about the same. They'll be back well before the playoffs.
Yeah. That's the thing. I like Lillard and what he's doing a lot right now. But I do think the Jazz are I do think the Jazz are slept on. I think the Jazz could beat the Blazers. I'm not sure about the Clippers. I think they could beat the Clippers too, maybe. I think the Jazz are slept on for sure.
Arguably this year, Clarkson's been the sixth man of the year. So like they got those ISO guys that the Blazers also have. But at the end of the day, it just comes down to, does Gobert get played off the floor? Because in that case, I'm like, well, the Blazers are winning that series if Nurkic stretches the floor, Gobert gets played off the floor. But I agree. Right now, the Jazz are looking like a better team.
All right, just a couple quick more. I was certainly wrong about the Jazz, but I is definitely right about the Tampa Raptors, and I love how I just jumped to call them the Tampa Raptors because they're going to be that the rest of the year. They're the Toronto Raptors, but they started off really slow. They started off really slow, and they're coming back now, and in the East, they can come back, and they'll probably be in the play-in and the playoff spot, which is something I didn't think they wouldn't do, but I did project them to slide, and they did slide, so I was certainly right about that, and they're coming back. I do got to give some props to Fred VanVleet because we shat on him for getting that contract, bro, and he had like 4 30-point games before this season. He's got 5 30-point games this season. Dude's been balling out. The only reason that they're coming back is because of Fred VanVleet. And I know they got Kyle Lowry. I know Spicy P's been playing better. But Fred VanVleet is a real deal, man. Out of Wichita State. Great story. Love his tattoo sleeve. I mean, this man's the real deal. Fred VanVleet's legit for the Tampa Raptors.
I was a little wrong on him. I was, like, very scared the Knicks were going to max him out this summer. And not that I'm, like, he's been incredible. I still don't know that I'm saying I wish the Knicks would have. Like, I'm fine with quickly not having a shorter point guard maxed out, but he's been incredible. Like, I'm thinking in my mind, like, put him on the Knicks this year with, like, Julius Randle, how they've been playing. Like, the Knicks are, like, still not a contender, but, like, a more legit team. But, like, no, Fred VanVleet's been incredible. I was definitely wrong about the Raptors. I had him, I think, like, 8th or 9th in our rankings before the season, so I was way too high on him, but makes sense, being in, not even their home games being away games, like not their fans there. They have some fans in Tampa, but they're not Raptors fans. They're in the middle of Tampa, not Canada. They're not by their homes. So like, it makes sense why they're doing so bad. But yeah, I was a little off on them. I projected them too high, but makes sense in hindsight.
Yep. So, all right, I know you got to go soon, so I just want to get a couple quickies in. I'll stop the bells.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards, bro, goes for a career season high last night, 28 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. You were certainly right about this. T-Wolves are always sorry. Like, they are just never good. I remember going and talking into the season like, bro, they're gotten this pick. They're probably going to be the worst team in the league. They're the worst team in the league. And I don't think it's a shot on Anthony Edwards, though, because he's balling now. Like, it took him a minute to, like, get his feet wet in the NBA. All these players do. Like, he's playing really well for a really shitty team. It just sucks that he's there. And yeah. I just wanted to give him a quick shout-out. The Wolves definitely, in my opinion, though, right there with the Thunder. And the Thunder, like I mentioned, I had that. Shai Gilchrist is great, but he got hurt, banged up a little bit. He doesn't play. They ain't winning, bro. Like, Lu Dort, he's not the real deal. Like, I don't know.
I don't even know what you do if you're the Thunder. I feel like if I'm the Timberwolves, I feel like they're the most sorry organization. As bad as the Knicks have been, the Kings have been pretty bad, but I feel like at least been a little more promising. Timberwolves are only time making the playoffs in the last 20 years is when Jimmy Butler dragged them there by the skin of their teeth to get, like, the 8 seed and get smacked in the first round, and then they got rid of him.
For real. Jimmy Butler's a beast.
If I were the Timberwolves, I'm probably trying to get Kat to play the rest of the season, get him looking good, and just trading him for everything I could trade him for next season. Like, it's not going to work. Teams will give up a lot for Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns is a great player, but, like, it's not working. Build around Anthony Edwards. Get rid of D'Lo if you can. Like, literally start over with Anthony Edwards would be my move. Like, it's
yeah.
I know they're always bad, but, like, it's not working. You can't just, like, D'Lo, Anthony Edwards, Ricky Rubio, Beasley. I just named, like, four great offensive guys, and they're all guards, and none of them can play defense. And then your center, Karl Anthony Towns, can play no defense, but is a great offensive guy. Like, the team just doesn't work.
Yeah, I got a couple more of those. I know you got limited time, so let me get into this. You know who plays no defense? Zion Williamson. They won the game last night. They were going up against Ja Morant. Yeah, he had a great game. 31-7-6. Here's my thing on him, though. How are you not averaging a double-double? Like, how does he not get 10 rebounds a game? He had a couple more assists. My knock on him was not playing Mega. He had a couple more assists last night. Going up against Ja, in which Ja had 28-7-8. In a loss in which Ja's playing good, roster just isn't great. Like, that, like, I don't know. Like, Pelicans have a way better roster. Like, if Zion was rebounding more and playing better defense, that's the reason the Pels have the record they do. They can't play defense, and Zion can't do anything. I saw he's taking 2 shots outside of 3 feet. Like, he can't shoot. So, like, his game is going in and dunking. So, not that it's not good, but, like, I'm watching the game last night, and I'm just thinking, like, all right, man, if this dude can wind up getting a shot, I know he's really young, but I'm still looking at it like, damn, if Ja had, like, Brandon Ingram on this team, they'd be fucking torch. Like, the Pels would be burning this game. Like, Ja is such a better playmaker, such a better leader. Like, I just go look at the hype, and I hear today on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, who's the next face of the NBA? Keyshawn's saying LaMelo Ball. And he might be right, but I would say Zion and Ja were closer to that, Luka Doncic, than LaMelo Ball. And I'm just saying, we're watching the game play out last night, and I'm like, all right, like,
what is that's a wild debate. The next face, or are we skipping past the current face, LeBron, and then what the next two will be, Giannis and Luka, and then are we just skipping past all of them to the next face? Like, I'm sorry, Ja Morant, I think will have a great career. Zion Williamson, I think will have a good career. Neither one of them are going to be the face of the NBA, in my opinion. I think Ja Morant's. I'll give you all the credit. You were very right on him. I think he's going to have a way better career than I initially thought. But, like, I don't think he's going to be face of the NBA. Like,
oh no, I don't think either. No, that's not what I'm saying.
I know you're not saying.
Yeah.
That, but, like, I'm saying I definitely don't. Yeah. Like, no. Zion Williamson's not going to be the face of the NBA. He just got the thing with Zion is he got so hyped up because of how spectacular his highlights are, and he's going to be a really good NBA player. But, like, he doesn't have a lot of the things you need to be, like, the, like, top NBA player. Like, if he learns to completely dominate on offense, he could be, like, one of the best offensive players in the league. But, like, I don't know if he's going to get it completely together on defense. Like, he won't be the face of the league, but, like, I still think the ceilings on him's really high. Like, he's only played, what did he play, like, 17 games last year?
He's played 50. He's played 50 NBA games to this date right now, which if you go put to an 82 game season, he's played 61%. He's played 61% of an NBA season. Like, we got to give him a little more time, for real. But at the same time, he's getting hyped up there to be this next big thing all the time. Like, all these dudes that come out do. It's like, bro, can we just pump the brakes a little bit?
Yeah, I don't think that's his fault. I still think he has a pretty high ceiling.
Like, I would honestly argue LaMelo Ball has a closer chance of doing so than those two guys. And I'm a big Ja guy, and I think Zion is great. But I do think LaMelo Ball's game and splashiness and all his followers and everything like that could have them potentially being, like, the face of the league in Charlotte and, like, doing crazy stuff there with MJ as the owner. Like, I think that is possible. I don't think it's skipping over, guys, because I do think that Keyshawn brought up a good point. Like, bro, LeBron's going to be around for, what, 3, 4, 5 more years? Like, LeBron's going to be the guy until he's gone. Then what? Some of those guys are going to be dropping out. Like, Giannis will be the back end of his career. You're going to say he's the face of the league? Like, maybe Luka, but, like, realistically, it's those, like, 3 or 4 guys that we talked about. Like,
for sure.
That or like some guy coming in like up, like it's not going to be any of the guys that we see right now. LeBron's going to still be around.
My only thing is Luka's 21 years old. Any young guy that comes up now at youngest is 19 years old. You're only 2 years younger than Luka. You're competing with Luka. I'm just not going to predict anyone being better than Luka going forward or taking over the face of the league. Even Giannis, to be honest with you, like Giannis is like maybe the best case scenario for, actually, I regret saying that, not the best case scenario for Zion, because Zion's defense will never be that good. But, like, as an overall player, like, success, maybe, like, the best case scenario for Zion, like, MVP type guy, but, like, can't quite be, like, the far and away number one option on a championship contender, just restricted by his game. And that's why guys like John LaMelo are great, because they can handle the ball and take you there. I agree that LaMelo probably has a better chance than both of them, but I'd say Luka far and away above all of them.
Yeah, I just had a couple random ones on the way out, fun ones, and then we'll go. Thanks for stopping by today, bro. I did see that there was a stat now on Damian Lillard, most game time go-ahead field goals in the NBA, 57 since 2012-13. Stephen A. out here clowning on him. Bro, I did that a couple weeks ago. Why is everyone stealing my thunder? Okay, so 25 years ago, anniversary of Happy Gilmore. Tell me you've seen Happy Gilmore. Any thoughts on Happy Gilmore? And I asked this to Raj because I saw it. Adam Sandler sports movies or Will Ferrell sports movies? I assume you'd seen a little bit more movies than me and Raj. I'm definitely with Adam Sandler, though. Like, Happy Gilmore is probably one of the best movies of all time to me. And then there's Longest Yard and a couple other good Adam Sandler movies that I can't think of right now.
I can't think of Will Ferrell sports movies other than Kicking and Screaming.
Semi-pro. I already went. Semi-pro. Blades of Glory. Talladega Nights.
I think it might have to be Will Ferrell.
Nah. Because okay, I got it right here. And then it's Happy Gilmore, Longest Yard, Waterboy. Yo, come on, you yeah. Waterboy. Yo, dude, Adam Sandler is way better at sports movies for sure. But it is a really good conversation.
My thing there is like.
I'm sorry. Raj was like, yo, give me next time I come on, we'll have to revisit this. I need a little time to research it and think about it. And I'm like, all right, good
that's
point.
That's tough. My gut feeling is, so I love Happy Gilmore. But for me, Talladega Nights is probably my favorite out of any of those movies right there. Blades of Glory was so good.
Yeah, it was.
I'm a big Will Ferrell. I like Will Ferrell a lot. And this isn't related to the sports one, but The Other Guys is, I think, one of like the best comedies ever. Like, I love The Other Guys with him and Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
That is tough though, because I don't know. That's really hard.
All right. Yeah. I always got the good ones, and then I guess
Happy Gilmore is probably my favorite Adam Sandler movie though.
Yeah. Definitely. All right, so today's the 17th of February. It's MJ's 58th birthday and Jim Brown's 85th birthday. Would you rather have your birthday be on February 17th, or would you rather be December 30th, which is LeBron James and Tiger Woods' birthday, which is a better duo of birthdays? I asked this question to Raj, and his response, bro, is, bro, nah, I'd rather have my birthday. It's in the summer. And I'm like, yeah, bro, I love my birthday. I'm just asking you, which one would you rather have a duo? He's like, oh, word. It's just like, so, you know, Raj, but anyways, just take part in the game.
That's hilarious.
Here. Just take part in the fucking game.
I was going to say, I'd pick the duo of me and Michael Phelps on June 30th.
You're such a fucking puss.
Well, at least I said someone I was paired with. Michael Phelps and I got the same birthday. I think Michael Phelps and I could easily take down Jordan and Jim Brown.
True. That's pretty elite. All right, brother. Enjoy the rest of your day. Catch up with you soon.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon. Good for having me on.
All right, peace.
Peace, bro.
Hey, Richie, hot takes. Getting in a Rich Square conversation today. I would rip through a little bit more solo, but I'm kind of tapped out. Much love. Joining the conversation. Raj, Rich, a lot going on in the world of sports. Obviously, the weather is a factor in basically all areas of the country right now when you're getting snow in the Texas area. So I'm just up here in the Northeast waiting for the snow to melt, wait for it to be warmer. So golf guy like me can play some more golf, get back to work. Still enjoying watching sports, following the sports world, doing and grinding on the podcast, getting a lot of people coming through and talking with me about the world of sports. It's meant a lot for sure. I've been grinding, getting certain things, trying to do hopefully certain things here over the next couple weeks before I really get back to work full time, where the podcast certainly takes a back burner. You know, it's been good for sure. Got to see my boss yesterday, asked me how I was doing, and you know, just made me realize that I like shitty things been for a lot of people and me. You know, I like what I'm doing with my podcast. I like how I try and spend my free time, and how some people have been good enough to spend some of their free time doing it with me. So it's been good. All the support, love is always appreciated. You know, my neighbor who reached out to me and told me that she got her house sold and she closed on her new house, which was good news. So I needed to shout her out quick. Trying to reach out to a few more people to get them to come on and this and that. Just a whole bunch of work, and just all in all, the people that have come to either follow my page or listen to my podcast just means so much to me. And I'm still grinding, trying to follow the world of sports, get those sports takes, and bring some of my friends or strangers or whatever it is to the sports world and do it here on the Seggy Station. It's been certainly everything I could have hoped for it to be. And just always got to take the time to really reflect on where I'm at and where my podcast is at and where I'm trying to go. And if you don't have and work hard on your dreams, then you're not going to get there. So it's been anything. It's tough, man. I don't know. Hopefully Chew comes back soon. Dukes is back around in CT. Hopefully get him around. Got a bunch of Eagles stuff to get into with him. Sure he'll have something to say about that. Hopefully we link up soon. All I had for the airwaves today. Appreciate it all listening as always. And as always, still have no shame what I just said. Just a man with a nickname. Till next time, peace and love. Stay safe out there, everybody. You listen to Seggy Station.